You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
Live from Universal Studios Hollywood in beautiful Los Angeles, California.
This is About Last Night with Brad Williams and Adam Ray
on the Toad Hop Network.
Hey, it's my voice again. This is Brad Williams, and this is the About Last Night show. Thank you for tuning in, and I'm back. I was not on the episode last week, but Adam Ray, who is now not here this week, we're having some complications here with the hosts. We're both working. I was touring, and then Adam has a movie that he's shooting in Boston with Sandra Bullock. So props to him. He's going to become a major star, leave this, and then I'll be having auditions for a new co-host. I need a new Jew. Are there any in Hollywood?
I
don't know. We'll try. All right. That was the voice of one of our guests. We have two amazing guests today on the About Last Night show. First off, this is kind of crazy. This is basically a guy walks into a bar joke happening in our studios right now, because we have a Jew, a midget, and a black guy. And if you can't find the funny or the sexual attraction in this room right now, something's wrong with you. You're into something that we don't even want to talk about. But Danielle Stewart, you've already heard her voice. She is a very funny female comedian.
That's right.
I have worked with her a few times, and I love it when openers kill.
Thank you.
And you always kill.
I prefer to be called a feature.
Thank you. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Feature act. Wow. And I forget where we did the first one. I might have been Virginia Beach Funny Bones.
Yeah, Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach Funny Bone. That's two openers I've met that are really great there. I met you and Mike Malone.
Okay, let's go back to feature.
Features.
I'm joking.
Danielle is extremely funny and hot. She's a hot little Jewish minx. Look at you. Look
at you.
And we had fun that weekend, didn't we?
We had a lot of fun. And then we worked together shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
Where was it? Richmond.
Virginia.
Was it Richmond?
Yeah.
Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. I always have fun with you. You're amazing.
You're so
fun to work with.
Well, I mean, I like to go out afterward. I like to have a good time. I don't just go back to the room and cry about the set I had last night or whatever.
I don't know why you would go back to the room when you literally are fighting women off. Every time I work with a new headliner, they're like, "What's Brad Williams like?" I'm like, "He's hilarious." And let me tell you something, I have never seen a comic get more pussy after a show. It's insane. They're like literally like, "Crawl up my leg, crawl up my leg, Brad."
Oh, and I do. It's so much fun. And our other guest, you know him, you love him, one of my personal favorites. I've literally never seen you have a bad set either, Alonzo. Alonzo Bowden is in the house, everyone.
I feel like we should clap.
Yeah, absolutely. And Alonzo, if you're watching us on ToadHopNetwork.com, he's got the tank top on. I didn't even know you had tats, and you're ripped, dude.
I do, and I had a microphone that worked. That didn't work before, but now, yeah, man, I got tats. And they're all jokers and jesters. It's all comedy related. The sad comic is pretty much
the theme
of all of mine. Because the jester, I love the idea of the jester, because he was the only one who could make fun of the king.
Absolutely.
And if it wasn't funny, they chopped off his head. I love the stakes being that high.
Absolutely.
Danielle, I love what you're saying, because no comic is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? It's like the opener. It's like, but I usually feature, right?
Right.
This is a road one-nighter where I usually feature. Then the headliner, the feature is like, I usually headline.
I usually headline.
And then the headline is like, well, I usually work theaters.
Right, exactly.
You know, nobody does what they do.
Right, exactly. It's all exceptions.
I headline clubs and I go back to the room and go to bed. I am tired. I am too old for any road pussy. Brad, I'm glad you're keeping that tradition alive.
No problem, my friend.
They offer me road pussy. I'm like, is this going to involve any effort on my part? Because if I have to get involved on effort level, I just as soon go home with a memory. I'm
absolutely
tired. It's hot out here.
There's a great comedian who works at the Comedy Store a lot named Jackson Perdue, and he's got one of the best lines.
He used to be a Laugh Factory
this.
Comic.
Is he? Oh,
when okay. I started, yeah. He was a Laugh Factory
didn't
guy.
Didn't he just have a heart attack or something like that? He just had some medical issue.
Yeah, he's okay now, but he's one of these guys where he's been around forever, and he's in amazing shape and has a heart attack. So, yeah, the note to everyone out there, don't work out.
Yeah.
Don't work out.
Good call.
That, you know who that happened to? You know Keavy Rogers?
Who's mm-hmm. Keavy Rogers?
Keavy is in extraordinary shape. I mean, this guy runs every day, works out. And he had like a heart attack at like 42 or something. Like he was really young.
Yeah.
So we were all in the back of the Comedy Magic Club eating fries. And then we said, in honor of you, Keavy, we're going to add cheese. we're going to have cheese on our fries.
Yeah, to help
in honor of your heart giving out. I mean, I've always worked out.
Help the arteries close up.
But I eat like a comic, so
You're keeping it real. By the way, why do you not have a condom on your microphone? The rest of us have protection, and you're just going bareback.
Because they don't care about black people over here. It's Hollywood. You know how it is.
You guys are impervious to disease. When you came over on the boat,
it's coming from
they
a
all
midget.
Survived.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. Midgets are not allowed to make any black jokes. You know why? Because we will throw you, all right? I don't give a shit about cruelty. Oh, it's going to be the Cruelty to Midgets March. I could give a shit less. Let me tell you something, Brad. You inspired my kicking a midget bit.
Do you have a kicking a midget
bit? I will bring
bit?
Back the old classic. Yeah, I used to do it.
That's great.
I actually got an angry email. I did it on... do you ever do Stand Up, The World Stands Up? You ever do that show?
I never did that.
It's a really cool show. I don't know if they do it anymore. Comedy Central used to do it, and they'd have
and then they would show
English
clips
speaking,
from guys from all over, right?
It'd be English speaking comics from around the world. So it'd be comics from the UK, from Australia, and from the US, and they bring us all together and do the show. Like they do it in New York one year, then they do it in London, then they do it in Melbourne. You know, and I did it in London, and I did this bit I used to do about kicking a midget. And I actually got an email from an angry midget. And it was the only one I got. And
any other kind?
Yeah, I know.
No,
trust
there's
me.
Happy ones getting a lot of pussy, like Bad Brad right
I'm the rare exception, my friend. There are a lot of angry ones out there.
And they hate him, right?
Yeah, most of them do. Yeah. Although, this weekend, I literally just got back from Orlando Improv this morning. I landed. And there was four dwarves that came out to my shows this weekend who were very supportive. One, it was a very attractive female dwarf who was the king of the cock blocks, because everyone sees her and then just assumes that we're married.
I see.
So all the women would come up to be like, you're really cute, but, you know, I don't want to upset your wife. Wife? What?
Right,
When did I get drunk and get married? What happened? No.
As a brother, I get that when there's a blonde around. Like, oh, there's a white woman. That one must be with you.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of tough for me to pull any this weekend.
My act is my cock block. So I never get hit on after show.
No, that's not true.
No, it is.
No, women. It's women comics. It's weird because you could always Daniel. You could hook up after a show without any act or anything. You could just stand up and say, "I'd like to hook up." And thank you. You know, but
yeah, but that's what I mean.
Women comics, I think guys are kind of scared to hit on you because they don't know how much of the act is real. Mm-hmm. Or not, and they're like, it's kind of weird.
That should be,
and they're
it's
intimidated.
All real.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
they're
it should
intimidated,
be, and,
right?
And your act is very like, not. I don't want to say
it
pro female, but it's like very. I'm a very open sexual person.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You in your act, you explain how much you love sex. You explain that you're good at it, and you explain.
I don't think I say I'm good at, but I think it's assumed.
I think so.
I know how good I am at
it. I would.
I just like to talk about it.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But then I think a guy sees that and goes, well, geez, if she's, I mean, that open and honest and telling these stories, I don't want to. It's one of the stupidest things people who aren't comics think. They think, everyone thinks that when you talk to a comedian, you're going to end up in their act somehow.
Yeah. And it's like, you'd be fucking privileged to end up in my act. Like, if you're interesting enough for me to write a joke about you.
God bless you.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that person never mention it. You know, it's never the person, hey, don't put me in your act. Like, don't worry, I won't.
Yeah.
But it's the person who's completely oblivious that you're like, this is a funny son of a bitch, right? Because people who are naturally characters don't think of themselves as characters because they're not trying to be.
Mm-hmm. They're just doing their natural thing. Yeah.
The ones who are trying to be, you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah, you're always having dinner with someone and they're like, hey, you know, don't put this dinner situation in your act, you're like, great, wow, this chicken cacciatore was totally going in there. Yeah. For that. This was a brand new 5 minutes, and you totally fucked it up.
But I do understand it, because if there was a guy on stage talking about, like, oh, I love big tits, and I love perfect bodies, and I love women in their 20s or something, you know, I would not approach that guy after the show because I would be afraid that I wouldn't measure up. So in a sense, I'm talking about, you know, guys not knowing where a clit is, and, you know, blowjobs and hand, not wanting to give hand jobs, and the guy might be like, I'm afraid I might not measure up. I'm not going to go there. That's my guess. Or I'm just ugly and not funny. But whatever it is.
Well,
but free pussy's
free
pussy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've always wondered if, I've always wondered if the female comedians have that same kind of sex drive after shows where you're like, dude, I want some too. Like, you're hanging out with me on the road. You see a girl talk to me, and you're, are you sitting there going, come on, guys, step up.
I mean, I think if there's, you know, yeah, but for me, I'm kind of past the point in my life where I'm into hooking up with someone I don't know on the road. I mean, not to say that it hasn't ever happened, but yeah, not really. I mean, because I don't drink, so it's not like I can't shift into that gear, you know?
Gotcha.
I went through many years where I loved random dick, but I'm kind of over that.
There's guys listening right now saying, damn, I missed the random dick years.
Isn't that always the case?
Not a lot of people.
The random dick
you always
years.
Do.
You
not a lot of people miss the random dick years. I'm going to be honest. I covered a lot of ground.
I was in Toledo, Ohio 3 weeks ago at the Toledo Funny Bone, and I was talking to this girl after the show, and she told me that she was 20, and then she said, man, if you had talked to me like 3 months ago, I was crazy. I'm like, how do you lose it at 20? What kind of
Toledo, Ohio? It didn't start at 20. It started at like 14.
Yeah.
So
that's
by
probably
20,
it.
She was tired.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
she hit
had
a
more
bottom.
Experience.
Yeah, she was tired by 20. Ain't a lot to do in Toledo. I've been there.
I bet you she something happened. Like, she got knocked up by some guy she didn't know and got an abortion, and it's like taking a break.
Yeah.
She's probably having one of Antonio Cromartie's kids. You know.
Isn't everybody?
I think so.
He's the man. It's 10 kids by 8 women
and
in
like,
6 states.
And they're like all between the ages of 1 and 5.
Yeah, he's got 4
so
3
he had
year,
a, he
well
had a
now
great
they,
fucking
now they'd
4
be
years.
5 year olds. But yeah, when he had 4 3 year olds, he couldn't even name them all. And it's funny cuz Corey Holcomb has that joke, right, that I have 2 6 year olds and they're not twins. And Cromartie's the only one who I could top that.
Yeah, I could top that. I got 5 2-year-olds. Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
He's a football player. He plays for the Jets, and he used to play for the San Diego Chargers. And he's taken over as like the poster child for athlete baby daddy.
Absolutely.
Like they
used to be Sean Kemp, and then Sean Kemp passed the unused condom to Antonio Cromartie.
I saw a guy wearing a Sean Kemp jersey. This is about a month and a half ago on Ventura Boulevard. And he was like young, you know, like he's early 20s, too young to have remembered when Sean Kemp played. And then I was like, wait a minute, he could be one of Sean Kemp's kids. like theoretically, he's probably just one of his kids wearing dad's jersey because Sean left him all over the country.
Absolutely.
He was amazing.
He was a journeyman. Now, Danielle, where did you start doing comedy?
Here?
Oh, yeah. Are you from here?
No, I'm from Boston.
But you didn't start in Boston?
No, well, as Alonzo knows, I worked on the other side of the business for a long time. I didn't want to be a comic. I thought it was a horrible life, and I wanted more for myself. And I really wanted to make money, so I wanted to be on the business side of comedy, because I always loved comedy.
Right,
you know?
And that's something, when people say, like, I'm thinking about going into comedy, what should I do? I say, you have to be firmly committed to being poor between 1 and 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that has, because you're going to be dirt poor. You don't make money off of $25 guest spots. And,
you know,
whatever.
And it's not even just money. It's I saw the emotional stuff. Well, you know, so I moved to LA from Boston and I was like, I want to work in comedy. I don't know what I want to do. I started waitressing at the Laugh Factory and like I booked this Dublin show and then I worked as like Pauly Shore's assistant. I did a whole bunch of stuff to work my way up. I ended up at a management company for comics and then a live performance agency for comics. And what happened was I was just miserable. Like, my soul was dying, and I begrudgingly started to do stand-up, and it really kind of solved a lot of problems for me, like, emotionally. And
just her saying she had a soul was why she couldn't make it as an agent.
Yes, exactly. They don't.
Yeah, you were overqualified for that gig.
That is actually very true.
Soul? Get her ass out of here. Yeah. What if it spreads?
It was.
Souls
it
can't
was
be
true.
Contagious in the comedy industry. Absolutely not.
And but that soul has since been killed by becoming a stand-up.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. It was reborn and then killed again through many open mics and criticisms. And, we had a female here last week and wasn't that funny, so we're just not going to book them for a while.
Last week?
Yeah.
We had a female comic here in 96.
Yeah.
She didn't do too well. We're waiting for next millennium. We're going to go ahead and wait. But thanks for showing up.
And that's interesting that's something that the three of us share, is that we're minority groups in comedy, is, mm-hmm. Female, black, and midget. Me, I think, I can only think of two other little people that do this. So, yeah, I'm the ultra minority. But mm-hmm. I've seen stuff like that where clubs just like, we don't like urban nights. We're not booking black guys anymore.
That's the thing I was going to say, though. You don't have the baggage that comes in, right? Because with Danielle.
You're fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
Danielle walks in and she carries the baggage of every woman comic there is. And I know there's all kind of talk about women comics, and a lot of it is unfair. But I will say that year that I judged Last Comic Standing and they kept coming in, one of the things, I don't think people realize how many people are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we saw so many women. Like, that year, for some reason, the joke was...
This was season what, five?
This was season five.
Yeah.
The joke was, I was dating a homeless guy. I hooked up with a homeless guy. right? And it was woman after woman. And I said, you know what woman I want on the show? I want the woman to come in and say, a homeless guy hit on me. And I said, get away from me, you fucking bum. You know what I mean? Because that would have been real. And it would have been different. And it's the same thing with black comedy, right? You have 1,000 black comedy. You know, white people do this and black people do that, right? And I come in and I'm from a different place, like more mainstream, and I like topical and political stuff.
Yeah.
But 1,000 clubs were like, oh, we don't book Def Jam. Just when they saw me, they're like, no, we don't book Def Jam. I'm like, I don't book Def Jam either.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't knock it, but I saw the same thing. You see comics come in and they do the exact same thing. And it was really a trip, because I don't think you realize it, because you think you're the only one doing it, because you don't see other people's acts.
But
that was one time. But yeah, it is tough for a woman to be funny, because she has to be seen and then she has to separate herself right away. Because the minute she does the stereotypical woman joke of man did this or my period that, then whoever it is tunes out.
Yeah,
and as soon as they hear that one,
just taps. And there's been people in the news recently. I know Corolla came out and he had that little controversy with the women aren't funny thing. And what I think it is I think it's the same. I think there's the same number of women who are funny to not funny as there are men. There's just a lot more men doing comedy. Like the numbers are greater.
Yeah, from what I've seen, I know a lot of funny female comics, and
sure,
I know even
tons out
more
there.
Unfunny female comics. But there's definitely more male unfunny female comics.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing that no one ever talks about, is that the sport itself of stand-up comedy is sort of driven by this confidence and ability to control an audience, and that is a male trait. And it's not to say that women can't have it, but a lot of men, and there's a lot of men that don't have it, but a lot of men can get by with, and I know a lot of comics who I love who aren't really joke writers or whatever, but they can get by just on the charisma of being able to wrangle an audience.
Me.
No, you've got great jokes.
Well,
you've got great jokes. But I mean, and it doesn't matter it doesn't make them any less of a comic. I mean, people talk shit on Dane Cook. I happen to love Dane Cook.
Sure.
I knew him 10 years before he popped, so I've seen the whole progression.
Yeah, you were back, like you said, doing
Well, I saw him
Dublin
in Boston.
Show.
Yeah,
Boston
but I
too.
Was like, when he was like 22, I remember seeing him in Boston. So, there's all different styles of comedy, so I think it's harder for, women have to be really good joke writers a lot of the time because they don't necessarily have the confidence. And then the women who are really super confident come off as like, like the Eddie Brill comment, which is like, oh, women are trying to be too much like men, which is like, go fuck yourself. That's, we're just trying to be a comment.
Eddie Brill, we'll let that go.
Yeah.
But no, you know what stands out to me with women, and my favorite is Kathleen Madigan, because, you know, I know her, but Kathleen's just brilliant.
She's awesome.
But Kathleen comes out and starts talking about politics. Mm-hmm. And then moves this way. In other words, she does topics that have nothing to do with her being a woman. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because and a lot of women who pop, for lack of a better term, are, I say, they're not women comics. They're comics who happen to be women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. That's the way Ellen was. Like, if you listen to Ellen's stuff, Ellen was hanging out, you know, with Seinfeld and Reiser and all those guys and Ellen had an act, you know what I mean? And Ellen's act, the funny thing about when Ellen came out and was gay and they made the whole show about her being gay, like, that was never her act. She never talked about it. It wasn't like, hey, I'm the lesbian comic. Like, she never even, in her special. They made it her thing. And Wanda, I love how Wanda handled it, because Wanda's like, you're not going to define me as this black lesbian. Like, it's my life. I joke about it a little, but you're not going to define me, you know.
Yeah, but on the... Oh, go ahead.
I remember Ellen's special, Here and Now, which was the first special after she had come out. She does maybe a minute up front. I think she just pretty much talks about, like, okay, so there's the gay thing that happened, and does about a minute of it. And that was a national news story on the cover of Time magazine, and she does a minute on it and then goes into an hour of just brilliant observational comedy, which was so refreshing to see. And, of course, I'm saying all that as the guy that opens my show with, hey, I'm a midget, what's up?
Well, here's the thing, and I totally agree with you, but it is sort of a bit of a... I don't find being a female comic difficult because of any of the things that you mentioned before. What I do find to be difficult is that, you know, the reason I became a comic is because I was funny with my friends, and I was funny with who I was. And if anybody is able to write their stand-up act geared towards what they think will help make them pop or what they think is smarter, you know, good for them, because I would love to be able to write a clean set. I would love to be able to write a set about politics or sports. I can't do
it. But that's not you.
It's not me.
It would come off as not authentic.
And it wouldn't be funny because I know shit about it, you know. But, you know, for me to be fulfilled as an artist, I need to get on stage and talk about what fuels me as a person and as an artist. And for me, that happens to be the material that I talk about, which is like sex and dating. And yes, that happens to be quite cliche with female comics. And I do think that I get grouped in with that. And there's nothing I can do about it. You know, this is not about a strategy. I have no strategy.
Well, it's not. You know? I don't think it's about a strategy, but you make it personal. You have to make it real versus making it generic. You know, there's the generic sex and comedy, and then there's the personal sex and comedy. And that's... In any comedy, personal works. You know what I mean? Like, you look at Doug Stanhope, who I love.
Right.
When you hear Stanhope talk, you understand he's done this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If Stanhope tells you some crazy fucking story
involving trannies.
Yeah, he didn't make that up.
No.
You know that, oh, this is real. This shit happened. You know, Attell is like that. Like, when Attell tells, when he had the late night show and he's telling all this shit, you're like, yeah,
he lived this.
I can listen to him, you know, versus somebody who's trying to make it up. It's like, you know, like Dom Herrera's joke about true story, you know, comic true story. It's like, hey, how about you lie to me in a funny way? Because your true stories are fucking killing me, you know. So there are some people who their real life is that funny.
Sure.
And then it's not stereotypical because it's what they live.
But that, you know, as comics, we look at that and that's what we admire. And what we admire and look up to is completely different as to what is marketable and what moves forward.
According to the agents.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, we were sort of talking before the show about some specific people, and, you know, there's some people I know who are moving right through the system where you watch their set and their joke writing is great. None of it's true. They get off stage and you don't know a goddamn thing about them. And that, there is a market for that. You know, there are people who get on stage and do really, really well because they have well-written funny jokes about rape and abortion, and they've never been raped and they've never had an abortion. But they know how to write a joke about it. And as comedians, we go, you know, hack, bullshit, but, you know, we're not the ones buying their CDs or buying tickets to their shows.
No.
So it really doesn't, the truth is, in terms of success, it really doesn't matter. I know for me, if I get on stage and talk about something I don't know anything about, i.e. something that isn't true, I feel like I need to take a shower afterwards, and I don't feel good about it.
And you feel uncomfortable even as you're saying it, because it's just like, I don't know this. If someone heckles, if someone says something about it or talks to me about it afterward, they're going to know in 2 seconds that I'm full of shit.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm a pro. I do a midget bit, and people who haven't seen me, they're like, he must be 3'7". That's some brilliant midget shit he got. What? He got a brilliant midget point of view.
They heard you in Pandora.
I don't give a shit.
They heard
That's
you on
right.
Pandora.
That's right, man. I only take pictures from the neck up.
But I have a joke about my shit on the chest joke, which I have, will say, and I say right afterwards, I've never shit on anyone's chest. And it's the one joke in my act that I'm really attached to that isn't true, that I love. And I go, you know, didn't happen, but I just love that joke. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't fit in with anything else. But
then you find it funny.
I find it hilarious.
Yeah, you find it funny, which is why you're able to sell it, because you're able to say,
it doesn't always sell, let's be honest. But I don't I won't take it out. It's that
really?
One I won't take out.
Not everyone can get behind shitting on a guy's chest?
No, it's a groaner. It's a groaner.
Ah, well.
Amateurs, let me tell you that
but
much.
You know, it's funny, like you mentioned Dane, and we were talking about this Saturday night. All the non-comics are judging comedy now. You know, comedy's mean, and you shouldn't say, and it's people who aren't they're not comics or they're not in a comedy club. In a comedy club, at any given moment, some shit that's wrong is hilarious.
And we have to take a quick break, but hold that thought, because I do want to come back to that. And Danielle also mentioned before the show that she was at the Comedy Central roast of Roseanne this weekend. I want to talk about that, maybe get some inside info. This is Alonzo Bowden, Danielle Stewart. This is the About Last Night show.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
The SodaStream Soda Maker is fun as hell. The kids are going to love it. There's 50 different flavors, and it's healthy. There's no fructose, corn syrup, or aspartame. So pick one up at Bed Bath & Beyond, Target, Macy's, Kohl's, and Walmart. Or just go to SodaStream.com.
The Kings can wear their crown.
The Stanley Cup comes to Los Angeles for the first time ever.
A Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings.
Own the 2012 NHL Champs on Blu-ray combo pack and DVD.
Dustin Penner has sent the Kings to the finals.
Get exclusive Blu-ray content, including extended interviews and parade celebration.
What a move by Kopitar.
Experience the historical run.
Save by Quick.
Own the official NHL Los Angeles Kings 2012 Stanley Cup Champions on Blu-ray combo pack and DVD July 20th.
If you haven't been listening to App Addicts.
Speaking of dumb apps, we got this cow tipping, crazy flipping app, and there's this National Threat Advisory app, and it is should be the crap app of the week. All the app does is it shows you the latest advisory level from Homeland Security, right? This is to keep you in fear. No updates, no info, no news, no reason, nothing except a color advisory level stating that we're at, you know, a possible problem.
DEFCON 7.
Orange level because some guy that looked a little brown got on an airplane and pulled on his underwear.
App Addicts, Fridays at 4 Pacific, only on the Toad Hop Network. Radio worth watching.
Saturday night, August 25th. It's the hottest party to hit the West Valley since, well, ever. Heidi and Frank, after hours live at the Canyon Club.
You're doing shows out in the garage? This is classy.
See Heidi, Frank, Smeeze, and their cast of characters doing their live stage show.
You know what I mean?
There's nothing like watching water run down this body.
Plus, the Tasty Thieves will rock the house. Heidi and Frank, after hours, live at the Canyon Club. Saturday night, August 25th. Doors open at 6, show starts at 7. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster or Canyon.
If you want to make a move, then you better come in. It's just ability, that reason that we're so thin. Living and dying and the stories that are true. Secret to a collage, know it when you're through. Black or white shoes, red hair, Cadillac. Black coat, white shoes, black hat, Cadillac, yeah. The boys are time bomb. you know that he is strong enough to die. He's rolling in the Cadillac, it's been that summer up and down. Three shots right out of here, I'm dead, the new king is crowned.
Black coat, white shoes, black head, Cadillac,
yeah, before the time bomb.
Back to About Last Night
on the Toad Hop Network.
A Jew, a black guy, and a dwarf do a podcast. Let's see what happens. This is the About Last Night show. Welcome back. My guests, Danielle Stewart, very funny comedian, and very funny comedian Alonzo Bowden as well. And just before the break, Alonzo, you've touched upon something that I talked about on this podcast couple of weeks ago, but since then has even gone further. I had talked about it when it was just the Daniel Tosh scandal of people judging and just doing taking what happens in a club and breaking it and talking about it like he walked into some guy's work or your home and said these kinds of things. And then recently, Dane got in trouble.
Right.
And what was the joke? He said...
He said that the... and I'm paraphrasing because I wasn't there, so I'm paraphrasing. But basically, it was that the new Batman movie was so bad that, you know, somebody was sitting there saying, please, shoot me.
You know? Which is a funny bit.
It's a funny joke. If the timing's bad for you, that's cool. But that night in the Laugh Factory, in a set, you're going to get laughs and you're going to get groans and you're going to move on. It's a joke. It's part of the set.
Sure.
With Tosh and if you're doing something on rape and a heckler yells some shit, the first thing, like comic instinct, it'd be funny if you got raped. Like that's you're going to come back with. And people ask me if it's different than Michael Richards saying nigger. And it's like, yeah, because when he said nigger, that wasn't part of a joke or anything.
That wasn't a bit.
That's a hate thing that comes from inside of you. You know what I mean? Like I've been doing this damn near 20 years. I've never heckled someone on something about them personally. You know what I mean?
Like
I might say you look stupid, but I'm not going to say
you're loud and drunk,
you stupid
and
Jew or something like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because
the minute you put
you want to work in this town.
Well, no, but the minute you put in something like that,
right?
People know. You know, audiences are funny. Audiences are like, it's like a dog that can sense fear and emotion.
Absolutely.
Audiences are like that. If you say something and it's funny, they're okay. But if it's genuinely hateful,
the audience picks up on it.
And they're like, whoa, out of line. You know, just...
Well, I have two things to say on this matter. One is, you know, the thing with the Michael Richards thing is this. I can get angry if somebody is like, you're not funny or something like that.
Sure.
But it would never occur to me to say the N-word because it's not in
my
vocabulary.
It's not in your,
so the thing that got him in trouble was the unfortunate look into his inner brain that is something that he may, that might be a word that he throws around
in his
personal
life. That was a decision where he thought, this will work, and this is okay.
I think it just came out.
It just came out.
Yeah,
it's part of who he is.
It's
in his personality, and it came out.
Exactly, and that's an unfortunate thing that we saw, and that's something that normally would be private, except that somebody triggered him, and I feel bad that that happened. But in terms of the Dane thing and the Daniel thing,
I don't feel bad.
I know you don't.
Thank you, Representative Black Man.
I don't really care. You know, it's like I thought it was, you know, fucked up, but, you know, whatever. You know, but the thing with the Dane thing is he came out saying, I'm sorry I made a bad judgment call. And that really kind of upset me because...
Yeah. Tosh, same thing. The apologizing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, it's not the apologizing. It's the fact that he called it a judgment call.
But... Oh, I don't mean to interrupt, but just because I was talking to him about this, and he was very specific about this, he did not apologize. He did not say, I'm sorry. He said, maybe he said, I made a bad call, but he didn't say, I'm sorry. And that does make a difference, because as a comic, you can't apologize for it. You say, hey, I screwed up. You know, if you were offended, it's unintended. I screwed up, but it's not, I'm sorry, because then you're cutting your own legs out from under you.
Well, he may not have said, I'm sorry, but he definitely did say,
yeah,
I made a poor judgment call. And for me, that didn't sit right. That's my issue with it, because I have been on stage before, and actually not that long ago, I did a set in Worcester when my whole family, I'm Jewish, and my whole family was in the audience.
Okay.
And I started talking about something about, you know, men who shave their pubic hairs to down to the skin looks like a big Jewish nose, and I can't do it because I went, blah, blah. And it just turned into, at some point, there was a dead silence on the show, and I go, oh, I fucking hate Jews. And it killed. And then I went into this whole bit about growing up Jewish and what, you know, it's like what some Jews are like and when some right. whatever. And, you know, my parents after the show were like, my parents don't get offended on anything, but they were like, can you just never do that bit again? And I'm like, yeah, I never would. It just was a thing that happened in the moment.
Sure.
If I was famous and that came out, that wasn't a judgment call. It was a natural progression that came to me during the bit. And the fact that I would ever have to arrest that process because I have to be afraid that I would be ostracized by the public is so detrimental to the creative process and my point.
Yeah.
And so it's not judgment. It's literally just like creative flow. He didn't write... You know, I don't know. Maybe he did write the joke. I don't know. But I just feel like that's the part about it that bothers me.
Comics have to be comics have to be allowed to fail.
Yeah, but
we have to be allowed to tell a bad joke every now and then.
The
and
thing about you saying you hate Jews is you're Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So even if, like, if you were the biggest star in the world, you could say that because you're Jewish. If someone who's not Jewish says it, that's a whole different meaning. You know what I mean? And that's just the way it is. You can do jokes about your own kind, your own group, or whatever. You're entitled to that because you're in the group, right? Like, it's like,
well, the Jew, believe me, the Jews won't like it. They'll they'll Zionist my ass.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what I've seen, and this phrase, it always cracks me up when Jewish comics talk about being Jewy.
Mm-hmm.
That's always funny to me. I don't know why, but to me, it's just whenever they say it, I'm like, that's just hilarious.
It sounds
like
Jewy.
It's a funny word, and I know what they mean by it, but it's like, but they can say it because culturally that's theirs, and they know where that line is. You know what I mean? As a black person and a black comic, I know where the line is. Black people can talk about things that other people can't say about you, and people are like, why? Because that's how it is. Because the majority can never make fun of the minority. It doesn't work that way. That's why.
Thank God,
fat women make fun of skinny women. But if skinny women making fun of fat women, not funny.
Yeah.
It's mean.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that with anything. If you're in the powerful group, you can't make fun of the less powerful group unless you do it so over the top, so ironically that only an idiot doesn't know.
So like when Jeselnik does jokes and he's just the average, you know, good-looking white dude, he goes so over the top that you go, okay, well, obviously he's not really going to do all that stuff.
And, you know, and the thing with Dane, and Tosh gets a little of it, but Dane got more of it. It's just people are so anxious to hate him for some reason. It's the strangest, it's the strangest thing. People are so anxious to get mad because I've heard Dane, like, I've seen him criticized for doing things that 5 years ago they were standing and cheering when he did the exact same joke, but now he's hateful or he's misogynistic or this or that. It's like, get over it. He's a comic doing comedy. If you don't like the comedy, that's cool, but they get into this personal judgment. And like, what if we did that? What if we just suddenly said, I mean, I can't say anything that might offend. I mean, I do, when I do political stuff, I make fun of the right wing. You know why? Because they're fucking hilarious. Because Democrats don't have a Sarah Palin or a Herman Cain or a Donald Trump. These characters are fucking hilarious. So that's why I make fun of them. And I do it in right wing states. And, you know, and there's always the chance. Listen, those fuckers have guns.
Yes.
They like guns, so I'm always taking a chance when I do that joke. You do those jokes in Texas, they got guns and trucks. You got to look out for both. But
it's funny how sometimes people are literally looking to be offended.
Yeah,
they're like waiting for it. I threw a joke up on my Twitter over the weekend that was homophobic dwarves should be called Chick-fil-A nuggets.
That's hilarious.
And I think it's goofy and funny.
I think it's hilarious.
And then I got a bunch of hate, like, well, what Chick-fil-A represents is a good company. They're just trying to do a business. I'm like, you're over it. Joke. they're going, what's in the news right now? Chick-fil-A being anti-gay marriage.
Well, you have to remember that there's people on the Chick-fil-A board who are scouring the internet. They're literally doing a Chick-fil-A search and then launching a campaign against it because everyone is, you know, not even liberal, even when people down the middle of the road are like, you know, angry about what's going on. So,
sure. You
know, that's all that was. It's like, it's not like it's your followers or your fans who were offended by it.
No.
You know, it's like, it's just these people. It's so stupid.
It's really weird. And for me, I'm on, it's for the whole Chick-fil-A issue. I'm on both sides, really. Like, I enjoy Chick-fil-A. I think it's a free country. You should be able to have a business and have views. But at the same time, if you share those views and people get pissed off about those views, they can respond accordingly as well. They can say, you know what, you don't like gay marriage, I'm not going to buy your chicken sandwich anymore. But it's interesting to me how people will nitpick, like, okay, they are against gay marriage, I'm not buying their product. But Nike is pro sweatshop. Motherfucker needs sneakers.
Right.
That's right.
They're actually not against. I do want to make a correction. If they're not against gay marriage, they're not outwardly against anything. They donate money to gay rehabilitation so you can come back into the straight world.
Oh,
that has nothing to do
gay
with
gay rehab.
Yeah, gay rehab. So
that's nice. They just keep you secluded from all the cock.
I don't know if you're aware of it. I'm going to black rehab soon. And it's because it's the same thing, you know.
That's where Michael went.
Which, by the way, the notion of gay rehab, I mean, you get a bunch of guys in a camp who are gay and you get them all in the same camp.
Yeah.
And now they're in this. Some gay shit is going to go down in that camp.
But if you think.
That to me is even crazier than being anti-gay marriage. Like if in other words, if you're going to accuse me of being anti-gay marriage, I would prefer that to you saying that I send money to the anti-gay camp. Now, to me, the Chick-fil-A thing is nothing. It's not even an issue.
Right.
I agree with what you said. If
their dipping sauces are great, it's not going to happen.
No. I won't fuck with them. I won't go there again. But
me
that's
either.
Just my choice. Mm-hmm. But they have They have the right to say these are our views,
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
then once they state their views, then you have the right to say, okay, well, fuck you. I'm not doing business with you anymore. But that's the end of it. The endless publicity that follows it, that's ridiculous. And believe me, Chick-fil-A doesn't mind this publicity at all.
Well, sure.
They don't
mind
this
at all.
Because
like they got the Huckabees coming out and doing like, and they had their biggest sales day in
the last 20 years. These are the best free commercials they will ever get.
Oh, my
God. As long as it stays in the news. Right now, there's like some, you know, Popeyes is like, who can we hate? We got to find somebody to hate them.
Right? Like,
they took the gays.
Who else is on the list?
You know, we get caught up in, you know, I love my country, and this is where my act comes from. And it's funny, you were talking about how your stuff is personal and you don't know politics and this and that, which isn't true. You do know it. But I understand what you're saying. What happened with me, the way my act changed, this stuff bothered me so much more than anything in my personal life. Like, I would try to write a joke about me, and I was like, I can't talk about me. The nation's arguing over chicken sandwiches. What the fuck is wrong with us?
Mm-hmm.
That every day I wake up, what the fuck is wrong with us as a nation? You know, chicken sandwiches, like, we're coming off.
This is where the line
the worst,
was drawn.
Off the worst banking crisis, Fred. You know, there's the health care. There's like real shit going on.
People,
you know what I mean?
War, famine,
but chicken sandwiches, damn it, this is America. Let's stop everything. And how obsessed with food can we be?
Right.
Chicken sandwich. That's what it is, because America, we like eating so much. Hey, don't be fucking around with them chicken sandwiches.
Well, I do think it's gotten out of control. I will agree with you. But I do think it is important because I am someone who does not, other than Twitter, I've got no media in my life. I don't have a television. I don't read Huffington Post. I don't do anything. I've got too much shit to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if this hadn't blown up this way, I would never be given the choice to, like, basically the people who found out about this want to educate people. Like, really, it's coming from a genuine place. Like, hey, just so you know, this is who they back.
Yeah.
So you can make the decision as to whether you want to support this business.
Absolutely.
Of course, since we're all drama queens, it's turned into this, like, you know, if you eat Chick-fil-A, you're anti-gay.
Right.
I personally think that they're actually not anti-gay. I think they're actually supportive of the gay community who feel like there is is a way out of gay, don't want to be gay, no, want to be in a Christian community, and want to go to gay rehab.
That's, but how can you say they're not anti-gay when they say there's a rehab? Like, just the connotation of a rehab.
Well, I don't think it's called a
insulting
rehab.
Yeah, but I know. I mean, this is like Michelle Bachmann's husband's thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you say, like, you know how wrong you're saying? You're saying, like, see, that blows my mind that anybody says, you know something, I'm so high and mighty, I'm so perfect, I can tell you your lifestyle is wrong. Like, what the fuck? What?
But
right.
I think
you
it's being...
think you are, you know, if listen, if someone's gay, they're gay. Why are they gay? How they became? Were they born that way? That it doesn't affect anybody. It doesn't affect anybody's, it doesn't affect you, you know.
It does affect the gay people in the Christian community who feel like there's a that they don't want to be gay and there's a way out of it. I don't necessarily believe that, but...
Yeah, I think that
but again,
they have that attitude because of the influx of outside sources saying it's wrong.
It's their choice.
To slap that on the Christian community. Listen, if Jesus came back, Jesus would hate the Christian community.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Right,
you walk me like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Right, we shouldn't even use that rule. Here's my thing with the Christian thing. Like, are you tax cuts? Like, you hate gay people, but you're for tax cuts? You know, it says in the Bible that the money changers have no chance of getting into heaven.
Right.
If you're in a group that they specifically named, like if Jesus specifically said your profession, I'd be like, holy shit. This,
right.
He didn't say like hookers can't get in. He didn't say
he
gamblers can't get in. But bankers, he's like, those fuckers do not get in. You know,
I love that.
So these people are not Christian. They're not. They claim Christian and they're in the business of Christianity. Mm-hmm. True Christians care about people, they help people, they understand people mm-hmm. with problems, and that's all it is. That was Jesus's whole thing. Jesus, if Jesus came around today, the gay people would be in that group of people that he would care about because he cared most about the downtrodden and the weak. That, you know, with and again, this is if you believe this, mm-hmm. right? Because if you believe it, because that's the other thing about this whole Christian thing. So we got 1 billion Buddhists in China that you're just dismissing? You know what I mean? Like, again, how much arrogance
that's
is that?
That's a high stat.
You just dismissed all of India and China like, oh, you guys are wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jewish people, oh, you had it right up to a point, you know. And
then our guy came down and we're good.
And it's that selective biblical thing. Like, okay, we're going to use Old Testament rules here because they're convenient for us. But then we're going to use mm-hmm. New Testament stuff here.
They're very offensive and upsetting. And I will stand corrected. You know, you're right. They're not Christians and they happen to affiliate themselves with the Christian community. But all I was trying to say in the spirit of people should, you know, Chick-fil-A should be able to donate to who they want. The people who eat there or don't eat there should be able to make that choice, as well as the people, whoever they are, in the gay community who feel that if they go to a quote-unquote gay rehab, they can become not gay, and Chick-fil-A has decided to support that is also their right.
It absolutely
and so,
is.
You know, I mean, that's all I was trying to say.
I understand that, but like Brad said, if you make that choice, then you have to accept the backlash because this whole thing of Chick-fil-A being a victim of the liberal media movement it's like, no, you're not a victim. You made a choice, so there's backlash.
Absolutely.
So I
made a choice to purchase this iPad. So I'm sure there's some Chinese people out there who have family members who built this for 7 cents an hour who are mad at me and think that I should not purchase this iPad. But I say, you know what? I worked hard. I believe in capitalism. And I love Angry Birds.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck you.
On the big screen.
I want a damn iPad.
It's so totally true.
And if that's your feelings on chicken sandwiches, you could love gay people and still eat a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A and enjoy it. I think that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really go there. I never went there. It was really strange because my dad went to Chick-fil-A last week for the very first time ever because he's the one. Yeah, he's
publicity.
Like, we got to support Chick-fil-A. I'm just like, dude, you never did it in the past.
I know.
Why? If some crazy shit came out saying, hey, dwarves are gods and should be treated as such, but it was done by a zucchini company. I fucking hate zucchini. I'm not going to start eating it.
Okay? You know, but I mean, there are people who feel
but
like
if
they're
you
supporting
did, it would
their
make
right.
You tall. I went to Dwarf Rehab, and they were just handing out zucchini.
Oh, my God.
Then some bitches were growing like ball players. It was amazing.
But some people just want to support their, I mean, I don't eat a Chick-fil-A, never did, but some people just want to support their right to be able to donate to whoever they want. And the truth is if Chick-fil-A is going to make the decision to donate to something that is that controversial like that, or maybe
like
an abortion thing or whatever, it's just like a chick who's wearing a short skirt and walks around and goes, why is everyone looking at me and trying to fuck me? It's like, look, we're not saying that you're asking to get raped, but we are saying that if you're going to wear a dress that goes right underneath your asshole, you're going to get a couple of guys asking you out on dates. Accept the responsibility. Yeah.
Wow. That is brilliant.
You're welcome.
That is really brilliant. Chick-fil-A is the slut of the fast food industry going, why does everyone want to rape?
Why does everyone looking at my tits?
In a Christian way.
In a Christian way.
We got a quick phone call that I wanted to take really fast.
Oh, no.
So,
I know this is going to be Danielle.
Here, let's
doesn't know what she's talking about.
Hello? Who's there?
Hi, Brad. It's me, Tony Danza.
Damn it! Interrupting Tony Danza again!
Yeah, you thought you were going to get away with one show without me. Well, fuck you, you little shit.
Oh, my God. I thought we were good. I thought we had everything covered. We got about 5 minutes left of the show. I thought we were going to go Tony Danza free for the first time ever, but all right.
And not today, man. Chick-fil-A, this is big in the news. Huh? Everybody, so what? So what's exactly? You know, I don't get on the internet too often, Brad. And but one thing I know. So what is it? People don't want to eat chicken sandwiches because they're putting gays inside the sandwiches. What is it?
That's exactly what it is.
They are grounding up gay people.
It's actually gay dipping sauce. It's gay semen, but it's delicious, and that's the thing that's weird.
So it's not the semen so much. It's that it's gay semen.
Exactly.
Because gay semen has a barbecue flavor. Not a lot of people know that.
No.
But
and Danielle would know.
Danielle would know.
Danielle would know. She's converted a few in her day.
I was like, you've got a barbecue taste. I think you should go to the other side.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
She's a recruiter.
That's interesting. All right. So they're trying to basically what? Just get the gays out of the stop eating their sandwiches.
Yes, because they want them not to be cannibals. That's all it is. Tony, thanks for interrupting as always.
The show's been great. I mean, I'm a big fan of your guests. I'm glad you had some people on other than what's the name of that guy who does your show? What is his name? Jew bastard?
That Adam Ray guy?
Yeah. Adam Ray, the co-host. Yeah, he's normally here, but he's filming a movie with Sandra Bullock, so he's not here. So, but I'm glad that you can call up Tony.
You know, at least that's what he said he's doing. Who knows? He could just be in some, you know.
He might be in gay rehab.
He could be in gay rehab.
Gay rehab, there you go.
You know what?
You guys broke the secret. The name of my Hootie and the Blowfish cover band.
What did he call it?
What was
gay
it?
Gay Rehab.
Gay Rehab.
Oh, Gay Rehab.
Hootie and the Blowfish cover band.
It's actually a good name for a band.
There we go.
It is great.
Tony Danza, thank you for interrupting. We'll talk to you soon. Oh, jeez.
My favorite gay line was working with Ant one time, and it was some gay issue. Ant said,
does he do gay jokes? We are not
recruiting. We are not recruiting. Ant does one or two. You know what I love about Ant? He has different levels of gay depending on the situation. I always joke with him about that.
Different level of gay?
Yeah. And the more homophobic people were around him, the more gay he became.
Oh, wow.
Just to bother them. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's hilarious. Funny. I do very similar things. I up my ante of dwarfism based on my surroundings.
You get smaller?
Absolutely.
You have powers.
Yeah, I get dirtier based on my surroundings. But really, I just get, it's depending on how authentic or not authentic do you want me to be. You know what I mean? Like, if I can just be loosey-goosey myself, I'm pretty out there. But,
oh my God. Alonzo, what do you got? What do you got coming up?
This Sunday, I'm at the Ice House in Pasadena. I'm doing a show. This is the last one. I've been doing a series. It's called In Other News. And I just read the news and riff on it and improv the whole show. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. That's kind of like old school style where comics would go on stage and just literally read the paper.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. And then my podcast, Who's Paying Attention, so you can listen to me on an alternate network. See how he was looking at me?
It's all right. We talk about it.
No, I'm on the Sideshow Network and on iTunes. Who's Paying Attention?
Well, there you go. Good stuff. And if you see that Alonzo Bowden is coming to your town, go see Alonzo. I know he is a very large, very intimidating black man. but you're not going to get large, intimidating black man material. You're going to get great, smart, funny material. Alonzo, I love your stuff.
Thanks. And you know, more and more that's bugging me, like the intimidating thing. Because I've never hit anybody. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so ridiculous. Like, imagine if big people did walk around just beating up people like they say. Like, has that ever happened since the days of Vikings? I'm bigger than you. Let me punch you in the head and do what I want. No, it doesn't work that way.
As someone who's smaller than everyone, no, I've never seen that happen. In fact, I would argue that I've actually committed more violent acts against other people than you, Alonzo, because I know I can get away with it. That if you do it, it's a felony. I do it, it's fucking adorable. You know what I mean? Danielle, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at the Danny Stew, DANISTEW. I'll also be at the Sacramento Punchline August 29th through the 2nd, I think.
Okay.
On my website, DanielleStewart.com.
Awesome. I'm going to talk like Adam Ray for a second. I'm at Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter. At Adam Ray Comedy. And
sounds like Tony Danza.
It's really, it's really weird. Sometimes people get the two confused. I have no idea. But he's also got a YouTube channel. You can subscribe to that. I'm very funny. All right, I'm Brad Williams. I'll also be at the Ice House this weekend, Friday and Saturday. So you can go see me on Friday or Saturday and then go see Alonzo on Sunday. Great times at the Ice House in Pasadena. Got other gigs coming up in Iowa. And so BradWilliamsComedy.com. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you, Alonzo.
Thank you. I'm also on Twitter, at Alonzo Bowden.
There you go.
Throw that in.
This has been the About Last Night Show, and please try to remember our names in the morning.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.